yes, you are listening to the first Open Mic Friday for about 3 weeks. Because of the Christmas holiday, we did not have this opportunity. So you can phone me on any theological question on your mind in the St. Louis area. The number is 821-0850. Toll free is 1-800-730-2727. As you can hear, I'm getting my voice back, and I sure appreciate that, especially those who have been praying for it. I really needed it this week, what with three Bible studies at three different churches, and also preaching this Saturday at 5 and Sunday at 8 and 10:30 at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Olivet, Missouri. So, without further ado, give me a ring, 821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727. And we'll be glad to take your questions. I also have a subject that we'll be talking about in between. But at this point, I see that there's a phone call coming in already. And by the way, the more phone calls that would come in, the less likely I need to talk. What am I going to talk about between phone calls? One of the items that I'm doing at Emmanuel Lutheran Olivet on Tuesdays at 11 a.m. is to go through various parts of the book of Revelation. We're not going to go through the whole book. I did that when I first came to a congregation, and it took me a year and a half. Instead, we're taking a look at highlights. The one we did this Tuesday was one of the messages to the churches in Asia Minor. Now, in chapters 2 and 3, there are 7 messages, and each of them have a similar structure. The first thing is a local detail about the church. Then, because the angel of the church is the pastor, and Jesus is giving a message to the pastor, there's an image of Christ. It's worded different ways to the 7 churches. Then, in most of the churches, this is what is good about the church. This is what is bad. There's then a call to repentance. And finally, promises to the one who conquers. Now, the churches are Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. At my church, our stationery had a saying from the Philadelphia church, because that seems to be the church that has its act most together. This is important to understand. You may have, like in the St. Louis area, we have over 100 different churches. And in some, there is a problem. It could be a personality or a doctrinal problem. There are those churches where there doesn't seem to be any real doctrinal problem. And so I like the church at Philadelphia, and I liken the congregation I was at to that church because it's a pretty positive church. We begin with verse 7. This is in chapter 3. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write. Now, who's doing the writing? Well, John is, and he's in a vision, and Jesus is giving him this information to write. And remember, the first point is about Jesus and his image. And here it comes. The words of the Holy One, the true one who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, who shuts and no one opens. See, there's a characteristic of Jesus in each of these churches. Now, by the way, if you want to ask a question, you don't need to deal with this particular passage, any theological question. Phone numbers are 821-0850, toll free 1-800-730-2727. Now, what do the words characterizing Jesus remind us of? The true one who has the key of David. What is the key of David? Who opens and no one will shut. Who shuts and no one opens. Well, remember when Jesus met with his disciples, he gave them the keys to the kingdom. We call it the office of the keys. Whosoever sins, you will remit, they will be remitted. And whosoever sins you retain, they will be retained. Now, does a pastor or a congregation have that power to forgive or to retain sins? Only if they do it according to the Word of God. For example, you may have a pastor who doesn't like it that some of his members buy cars that are not made in the United States of America. And maybe he comes in his early days from a union. Well, it would be wrong for him not to give communion to people who buy such cars. And therefore, if a pastor does not properly use the proper process in retaining sins, this doesn't count in heaven. The proper process is one in which a person refuses to repent of the sin. That's really quite important. And so, while no church has the power to forgive or retain sins, it does have the authority to do so. So, numbers here are 821-0850, toll free 1-800-730-2727, and let's go speak with Mike. Hi, Mike.
Hi, how you doing today? Oh, yeah, I forgot you're sick. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to ask you that. Listen, what I was thinking was I heard this guy, he was one of these radio preachers, and he said, you know that part in Matthew, I think this Bible begins with verse 13 where it talks about, you know, the narrow gate. It says, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the road broad that leads to destruction, and those that enter through it are many. How the narrow the gate and constricted the road that leads to life, and those who find it are few. And this guy said, by the law of averages, most people go to hell. Do you think he's right?
We really do not know, and I'll tell you why. First of all, there are over a billion Christians in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Those are Christians, just in the Roman Catholic Church, for example, who belong to a denomination. But then there are many people I find that believe in Jesus but do not attend church, do not belong to a denomination, maybe because of some bad experience they had when they were a child.
Right.
So to guesstimate that somebody is not going to be in heaven would be to make a judgment that we don't have the right to do.
What about a general judgment of just the total population, though, of the people who have lived and are going to live and are living?
Yes, I understand what you're saying. The thing is, we do know that we have ways to bring people into the church, word and sacrament. However, remember John the Baptizer who leaped in the womb for joy?
Right.
That was something that God did apart from our use of the word or sacrament. So we have no idea who God is going to be bringing to heaven. We leave that in his discretion, knowing full well that when you and I get to heaven, Mike, we will be in full bliss and nothing will bother us.
Oh, okay. All right.
All right. Thank you so much for calling. Anybody else can call. Our numbers here are 821-0850, toll free 1-800-730-2727. This reminds me that some places in the Bible, it appears to say, judge not, lest you yourselves be judged. And other places, you have to do judging. For example, if you're going to excommunicate someone, that's because you need to know what sin they're not repenting of. So I've got a way in which to help you to know when you can judge and when you cannot. I've mentioned this before. Think of a courtroom. There's a judge and a jury. What does the jury do? The jury decides guilt or innocence. The judge decides the punishment. I think that's really important to understand. Because we Christians, we have the right to be a jury. We don't have the right to be a judge. We may see somebody living a lifestyle that we think is inappropriate, but we don't read their hearts to be able to know whether or not they're truly repentant. So we can judge them as to whether or not they're sinning, but we cannot judge them because of that sin. They're going to hell, because that would mean that I too, because I have sin, would be going to hell. Let's go to the phone lines and speak with Herman. Hi, Herman. You're on the air.
Thank you, Pastor. You mentioned reach of the gospel, and like KFUO was on the international internet and probably some gospel programs on shortwave and satellite things. And if a person hears in a country that has a militantly anti or non-Christian culture today, either religious or secular, and they believe the gospel, but there's no organized church around, what would be their salvation in confessing Jesus Christ?
All that is needed, if you listen to that one Bible verse, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. So baptism is not necessary because nobody in the Old Testament was baptized, and many people there were saved because they had they had faith in the promises of the gospel. Therefore, it's not at all unusual. I had some people in our neighborhood that were joining the Mormon church. Yet when I talked to them, they didn't really know what the Mormons, they weren't allowed in the temple yet. And their understanding of Jesus was very similar to mine. I'm not going to be at all surprised to see them in heaven because they were not really believing what the Mormons said. So the electronic gifts that God has given us, where people all over the world can now hear KFUO, it may definitely, by hearing the word of God and the gospel, trust in Jesus, and they will be saved, even though they're not members of any known denomination.
Thank you, Pastor Baker.
Thank you for calling. And anybody else can call. Our numbers are 821-0850, toll free 1-800-730-2727. For example, you can talk to many pastors. We'll be doing a hospital call this afternoon. Now, the people that we're calling on are Christians. But in our conversation, in our prayer, there may be somebody who overhears what we are saying. And if that occurs, and the gospel takes root, that is, they believe it, guess what? They are saved. It's just wonderful that we are able on KFUO to go all over the world and tell your friends about it. Just go to KFUO.org and you can either hear while in streaming the program that's on, or they have archives of many of the programs so that you can listen to them. All that counts is that the gospel of Jesus Christ, and what is that gospel? The gospel are the promises connected to the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that we have the full forgiveness of sins, that we have the robe of righteousness, that heaven is our home. And when someone comes to believe that, guess what? They are saved. Our numbers here are 821-0850. That's in the St. Louis area. Toll-free is 1-800-730-2727. So if you'd like to call in, don't hesitate to do so. We got about 10 more minutes in the program. And we can talk a little bit about the Faithful Church of Philadelphia, but it looks like we've got a caller coming in right now. And is this Sandra?
Yes.
You're on the air.
Pastor, thank you so much. I've listened to Law and Gospel faithfully. This week, with the Magi being a symbol for us as Christ coming for the Gentiles, I've also heard from another station that Abraham also represents the Gentile connection for us before his conversion. I wanted to know if this is true.
Yes, we're not sure Abraham was a believer. And remember, he was Hebrew. Now, from him came Isaac, and from Isaac came Israel. But Israel did not exist prior to Abraham. And so some would suggest that Abraham was not a believer when God came to him, in much the same way that the Apostle Paul was not a believer on the road to Damascus. Remember, his name was Saul, and the Lord came to him. God has a tendency to make people who don't deserve it and seem to be unworthy to be his leaders. Abraham was one of them, and therefore, even in the Old Testament, there were those who were Gentiles that God sent his prophets to. The book I have in mind is the book of Jonah, where God sent Jonah to the town of Nineveh, and that was a Gentile town. Jonah did not like that, but he got swallowed up by a large fish, was spit out, he did his task, and it says that the whole town was converted by the words of Noah, which I don't think were preached with much enthusiasm, because he went up on the hill expecting the town to be destroyed, and it was not. So there's much in the Old Testament that shows that the gospel is for both Jew and Gentile. And then when we hear Simeon's prayer in the temple, he mentions that specifically, that Jesus has also come for the Gentiles.
All right. Thank you so much, Pastor. But one last thing.
Yes.
I've also heard, never heard the expression before, that Adam was the first son of God. You know, logically, that kind of makes sense, but I've just never heard him referred to as the first son of God.
Yes, there's two kinds of sons. there is the begotten Son in the Bible, and that alone is Jesus. But then we are also referred to as the children of God. And when we have a faith relationship with God, we can be considered as his sons and daughters or his children. The Bible kind of sticks with the male pronoun, sons. And the reason that even the women are referred to as sons of God is because the oldest son was the one to get the inheritance. And so, as Galatians points out, there's now no distinction between male or female, Greek or Jew, slave or free, because all receive the same benefit through faith in Jesus Christ. So in a sense, Sandra, you are a son of God because of the inheritance that you will receive by grace through faith on account of Jesus Christ.
Thank you so much, Pastor, and thank the Lord you're getting well.
Yes, thank you so much. You know, I don't have a fever. I cough occasionally. I haven't felt sick. It's just that the voice went out. And I just need to be more careful when I'm out in the cold that I keep covered. So we thank those who did phone today. I want to make one note about the church in Philadelphia before we get off the air. After Jesus says he is the one who has the key of David, he says, and this is what I had on my stationery, and this is to the church at Philadelphia. Behold, I have set before you an open door, which no one is able to shut. I know that you have but little power, and yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Wow, what does that mean? Well, there's two primary functions that occur in a congregation led by a pastor. The first are Bible studies. And that's what is meant by, you have kept my word. That the word of God is purely preached in Bible studies, in sermons, and so forth. But you know, it's not enough just to take the word of God into us. Listen to the next part. And you have not denied my name. Well, what's the opposite of denial? It would be confess. And I see in that little phrase, evangelism. So a church that is truly Christian, first of all, keeps the pure word of God as the substance of its Bible studies and its sermons, and then reaches out into the community by not denying the name of Christ, and maybe has evangelism teams, invites people to church, has activities where the neighborhood can come to church and learn more about Jesus Christ. Now, the most important phrase, I know that you have but little power. That is significant to me because even KFUO has no power, but the word has power. So insofar as the word of God is preached in its purity and the sacraments administered rightly, guess what? I have set before you an open door. Each church that I have been involved with, in fact, I was talking to Trinity Orchard Farm Pastor Gaunt last night, and he was just making the point that he'll often have each year two adult instruction classes. And through those instruction classes, people come and become members. We believe very strictly that you should not just become a member of a church because you like the people. No, we want you to love our God. And that's why in confirmation, it doesn't matter if you're a believer or an unbeliever. You are invited to our worship services. You are invited to our Bible classes. You are invited to our catechism class in order to learn more about Jesus as you make up your mind as to whether or not to join a particular congregation. So, we pray that the doors of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod will always remain open, which they will, insofar as the Word of God, that's law and gospel, is preached purely. Remember, God willing, I'll be preaching at Emmanuel Lutheran in Olivet Saturday at 5 and Sunday at 8 and 10:30. I'm Tom Baker and looking forward to continuing our conversation on Monday. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com.